love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is April 3rd, 2013. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us live every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have an awesome show for you tonight. We have Miss Beverly Brodus Green. Beverly is an ordained evangelist, the author of the book Real Love 2. She's a motivational speaker, a domestic violence advocate, and she's also the mother of rapper Snoop Dogg. Beverly has a powerful testimony, and we're very happy to have her as a guest on our show tonight to share her story. Before we bring Beverly on, please let me welcome Boyd to the show.
Yes, I would like to thank everyone who tunes into our radio show every Wednesday night, and we would like to thank everybody around the world that supports us. And like I always say in the beginning of the show, we would like to thank all our members behind the walls, and we have members in 150 prisons across the country, men and women, federal and state. So we would like to give a big shout-out to y'all as well, and a biggest shout-out to our soldiers in the streets that study educating our kids against gangs, drugs, and violence, and a shout-out to my three brothers that's doing life sentences in the penitentiary, Marvell, Robbie, and Christopher. And without further ado, we're not going to hold you up. We're going to allow this very, very nice young lady who gave us the pleasure to have us on our show, and we will ask her to formally introduce herself.
Thank you so much. I'm Evangelist Beverly Brodus Green. I am the mother of four sons, and yes, Snoop is one of them. I have two sisters, and I have seven brothers, and I'm kind of like the middle one. But some 30 years ago, God saved me, sanctified me, and filled me with the Holy Ghost. But before I got to that point, I went on a triple nightmare, looking for love in all the wrong places.
Amen.
When you're looking for love in the wrong places, that means wrong things going to come to you. And, yes, I was in an abusive relationship where I didn't learn how to fight. So I thank those guys because they did teach me how to stand up for myself. And, from that point on, when I got saved, I was still in the church doing things, but I had sung in the choir for 42 years. I directed the choir for 25 years. I was the president of the choir for 20 years, and I knew that it was something other than just that God wanted me to do. And 7 years ago, God called me as an evangelist, and I told my pastor. And, of course, he licensed me and let me get out there and let God use me. But in the meantime, you got to remember, I had these children to raise. And we were in an area where it was very, very bad. I mean, the gangs, the drugs, you know, you name it, it was going on there. So when God saved me, my older son was 10. Snoop was 8. My baby was 2 years old. And then later on, I adopted my nephew. And so by me getting saved so young, I was able to ground the Word of God in my household. We had Sunday school in our home. We had Bible study in our home. We did songs. We did prayer. We did scriptures. We did everything that we were supposed to do. And I let them know that even though they're little boys now, one day they will grow up and be men. And I demand respect from you. So I'm starting now while you're young. And I instilled that with them. And as my life went on, I went to Kansas City, Missouri. I was asked to do an revival with Evangelist Claudia Price, which is Kelly Price's mother. And when I came back to California, the bishop called me and said God laid on his heart to fly to California because he needs to ordain and license me. And that's what he did. He came on April 26, 2008. I was ordained and licensed as a national evangelist. I go all over the states preaching and teaching the word of God. And my thing that I would like to do is reach out and touch and bring our young people back. We have so many out there that's so lost. They don't know what to do. Their mom is confused. Their dad is doing whatever. And if I could just say one word just to help one child out there to bring them back and let them know that God loves you no matter what, in spite of, he still loves you. If I could do that, I'd tell it all joy. I like to say women out there that's in abusive relationships, you don't need to be with nobody that put their hands on you. You was raised one child by your parents. If they didn't do a good job, too bad. Because don't let them start. If they hit you once, they'll hit you again. And I found that out the hard way. But we have to, as men and women, we have to sit and wait on God. Don't go out there looking for a husband. Don't go out there looking for no woman. You wait for God. He'll send your king. He'll send your queen. Just wait on God. And I tell you, that's what I'm doing. I'm holding on. I'm believing. I'm taking God at his word because I know he didn't bring you this far to leave me.
Amen.
And that's a hallelujah to you. Amen.
That's the honest to God truth what you just said. And I also want to ask you, when you was raising your sons up, you know, did you ever dream that your son Snoop would be involved with the rap game and that area that you was living in that was so bad when you was raising your sons?
Okay, you know what? I never knew what he was really doing as far as this rap stuff. So I was working for McDonald's as an aircraft. I was the head chef there. And someone through my line to tell me, your son is a rapper. And I said, what do you mean he's a rapper? And she said, well, you know, he did a soundtrack to was it Deep Cover? And I said, really? And so my girlfriend told me, when we get off of work, we're going to go by VIP Records, and I'm going to show you. And when I went in there and I seen it and I heard it, you ought to see me. I got home so fast. I called him on the phone. I said, Snoop, why didn't you tell me that you was a rapper? He said, Mom, you know how you are. I said, no, but if you would have, you know, just told me, I would have said, okay, you grown. You got your life to live. But, you know, when he started out, I used to tell him all the time, you need to stop all that, the cursing, you know, the downgrading the women and everything, you know. And he would say, well, Mom, you know, I'm not talking about you. I said, I know goodness what you ain't talking about me. And I told him that I was very strict, very firm. And he was saying, those women know who they are. And so, you know, as time go on, as I was praying for my children, I can see a change in him now. I see God positioning him because he will preach the word of God. And it's only a matter of time. He will preach. He will.
He done been there and did it all. It's nothing else but God's work now. He done did it all.
That's right. And it's time. It's time now to come in. See, that's where it was my life before God saved me. I did everything I thought I could do. I got tired. My life was like I was happy. I was sad. You know, I was thinking of things to do to myself, do to my children, because I wasn't happy. And then that's when the word came to me and said, you done tried everything else. Why don't you try
Jesus? Amen. I'm doing that all the way.
And you know what? And believe it or not, do you know that I had been drinking the night before? And I had made my mind up. When I left to go to church that night, I was not coming straight home. I left the baby daddy. He was their babysitter. When they brought me back from the church, I hooked up with my drinking partner. And we went to the liquor store. And we smoked. I mean, we got good and high. About 4 o'clock in the morning, I was ready to go home. When I got there, he was waiting on me, and we started fist fighting. And he knocked me down. I got back up, and I left there, and I came back. I got an ice pick, and I had a choice right then and there to kill him or be saved. And that morning, May 23rd, 1980, I gave my life to Christ. I told him, I said, I don't even know the sinner's prayer. I said, but somewhere in your word you said, ask, and it shall be given. You said, seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. I said, Father, I'm coming to you right now. I said, I need you. And God saved me right then and there. And I told him, the baby daddy, I told him, you ought to be so glad that God saved me. Because you would have been dead, I would have been in prison, and my baby would have had to go through all kinds of stuff. But look at us now. You living your life doing what you want to do. I'm saved. I'm sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm a national evangelist. I got three good sons, and I just thank God for it. I thank God.
Amen.
Yes, I thank God.
What advice would you give women that are in those relationships, being beat up and being degraded and being put down?
A lot of times what happens is when they're talked to like that, they lose their self-esteem. They think they're nobody. But I want to tell you something. In the sight of God, he says that we're all filthy rags. So that means I'm no better than you are. And whatever you're in, whatever relationship you're in, and you've been abused or you're abusing drugs or whatever you're doing, stop right now and just talk to God and tell him that you are sick and tired of going through what you're going through and that you're ready to give everything up because you heard about Jesus. Now you want to try Jesus for yourself. And when you let God come into your life, God will work that out with that man, with those drugs. So you don't have to worry about that. God's got your back 100%. All you got to do is turn it over to Jesus. Don't go
Amen.
Back. Don't look back. Look forward. Because everything that's behind you, you've asked God to forgive you. It's time to move on. As you move on, God will continue to open doors for you. God will continue to bless you in all that you stand in need of. But please, tonight, not tomorrow, tonight, accept Christ as your personal Savior. The next minute, the next second is not promised to you. So get on board right now. Try Jesus for yourself. I guarantee you, you will never, ever regret receiving Christ as your personal Savior.
That's Amen right. on that, you know.
Thank you, Lord.
And while we got you on the phone tonight, you know, I'm feeling it so strong. I would like for you to say a nice prayer for the people, you know.
Okay. Gracious Father, we come boldly before the throne of grace. Father God, we come right now realizing we've got a sin in our thoughts, in our deeds, and in our actions. And Father, we ask that you would forgive us right now. We ask, Lord God, that you would create within us a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within us. Father God, as we come right now, we're lifting up the people that's out there, Lord God, that don't know what to do, don't know who to call upon, in abusive relationship, Lord God, on drugs, or whatever the issue might be. And Father God, I'm asking you right now to go out, Lord God, touch hearts, touch minds, Lord God. Father God, I ask that you would just open them up to hear a word from you tonight, Lord God. Father God, they need you. Father God, they can't do nothing without you. Father God, let them know that Satan, his time has played out. Father God, I ask that you would touch the young people. I ask, Lord God, that you would touch the young women and young men that's out there on drugs, Lord God, selling their bodies, Lord God, to get another high, Lord. We ask, Father God, that you would touch right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, I know that you have all power is in your hand, Lord. And Father God, I claim the victory right now. Father God, I know somebody out there is going to receive you tonight as your personal Savior. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for the opportunity of being on the radio show tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for just watching over us, Lord. We thank you for bringing us together, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for your love that you have given to us, the real love, Lord God, the real love that's the agape love that you have for us. Father, we ask that real love will go out right now and touch hearts and minds. Father God, we just thank you right now, Lord. We just bless you right now, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We give you all the praises, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. To God
Amen.
Be the glory.
That was awesome. So I'm letting all you viewers know with that right there, she's letting you understand that God is right there standing in the gap right now, waiting on you. So
right
that's
there,
the bottom line tonight.
Trent.
Yes, he is. Praise God.
So let's
talk a little bit
about your book. You know, the book here is a dynamic book, and let people know a little bit about your book and where they can go get that book at as well.
Okay. In 2004, I wrote my first book called Real Love. And real love is the love that Christ has for us. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do, I got love for you. So what happened was I was telling my young son that I remember every one of my teachers from the age, from being in kindergarten to the sixth grade. And he said, Mom, I graduated in 97, and this was 2001. He said, I can't remember none of my teachers. I said, well, see, I thank God because he gave me a gift to remember things far greater than the average human being. And he said, you know what, Mom, you ought to write a book. And I said, for what? He said, because, you know, the life you live, the things you've been through in life. He said, you ought to write a book. I'm sure a lot of people would buy the book. And that's how I started writing my book, talking about my life from 5 years of age until my present. And how at 5 years of age, I was sitting on the stage holding my baby doll. And I remember getting my certificate for finishing kindergarten, and I thought I had finished school altogether. And I didn't know that I was in for a rude awakening, you know, and how I seen my first love, which is Snoop Father, when I was 7 years old, because we are all pretty much from the same hometown. And I asked my brother who was, and he told me, and he said, why? And I said, because I think he is so cute. He said, you're too young to be like a boy. I said, I still don't care. And from the age of seven, I remember him. And then when I turned, I think I was five and stuff. I had to be seven, and I wanted to be saved because everybody was shouting and carrying on in the church, and I wanted some. And so me and my cousin was in the kitchen, and we started talking about the Lord and what you do to be saved and all this and that. I said, well, I want to be saved. And so they told me what to do, what to say. And so I said, well, I'm doing it. I want to believe that he lived, that he died, that he rose. And my grandmother came in the kitchen, and she said, I'll call Reverend Taylor, which he was my uncle. And she called him, and he came up there, and I got saved when I was 7 years old. And from 7 years old to 12 years, when I turned 12 years old, we moved to California. And we were going to church, Sunday school, Bible study, mission meet. I think my mom and I was just dreaming of stuff for us to do to make sure we stayed in the church. And as, you know, time would go, I strayed away from church. I was going to church, but I wasn't really into it like I used to be. And when I turned 28 years old, I started thinking about how I used to enjoy going to church, going to Sunday school, going to choir rehearsal, and all of that. And that's when I just realized that I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And as my book takes you along, it just takes you through my whole life, the ups, the downs, the looking for the love in all the wrong places, you know, being in this relationship, being in that relationship, and how, you know, through it all, how God came to me and how God delivered and he set me free and he told me who I am, who I represent, and I have no kind of way supposed to let nobody talk to me any kind of way. You're going to respect me as a godly woman, a God-fearing woman, a woman after God's own heart.
Amen.
And down through the years, I keep going through. And real love is all about me. It's all about me raising my sons. I think I did 3 chapters on Snoop and talked about, you know, how I raised him. I was very strict on my children. Snoop and I used to drink beer together, and I gave him 3 beers one night because we drank Slitz Malt. And he was dancing. I told him to dance for me. And he was dancing, and we was just laughing, having fun. And I gave him another beer, and I said, how you feel? He said, how the hell you think I feel? And when he said that beer was snatched from him. He never, ever drank another beer with me. Okay? And do you know he was 4 years old? He remembers that to this day, that my mom had me drinking with her. I snatched that beer from him, and I said, that's more for me to drink up. Now you get on in that room in there, okay?
What do you say? You know how I feel.
He said, you know how the hell I feel.
Oh, wow. I'm feeling the same way you're feeling, he said.
You know what? He lost his mind for a minute, but I brought it back to him so quick, his head was spinning around. You know, I raised my children. I was a single mom, and I raised them the best way I knew how, which was from my mother. The way she raised me is the way I raised my children. I give my mother the highest of respect. 84 years old. I love her, and she's my hero. And I thank God.
Amen.
If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I thank God. So, like I said, real love is all about me, all about my life, the ups and downs, the trials and tribulations, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of that. But when it's from, when you finish with my book, it tells you about how all I went through, and when I made the choice that I wanted to be saved, that God took all that stuff from me. And I thank God. He took the drink.
Amen.
He took the perfect. He took the smoking. I mean, he took it all. And I thank God for it. And
amen.
I never thought that. Well, I knew that Snoop was different. I knew that. Because he always keep everybody laughing. You know, when he get in trouble, his nickname is Mr. Man. So when I say Mr. Man, that means you get ready to meet the belt. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
I don't care. That's how quick I was. I did not play. But he was fun. And I knew he would be something, but I didn't know what. Because when he was 4 years old, he wanted to play the piano. And he played his first recital. He came in second place. They gave him 6 months of free piano lessons. And the guy ran off with the money and everything. And that was like his dream was just taken from him. But then he joined the choir. And I started hearing him sing. And I was like, oh, boy, my son can sing. You know, but the voice he got now, he didn't have that voice then. His voice was real light, real light. And as he started growing and singing, and we used to have the different Christmas plays, Easter, all that, and I would see him, how he would play cards, and he played them so good. It was like he was that person, you know. And I just thank God that he saved me when he did, because I got to live that life over my children. That wildlife, it was way behind us. You know, he said he remembered things that I don't think he remembered. I told him, keep it to yourself. Whatever it is, you remember. So real love right now, I'm working on real love. It's kind of like, it's just working on it, okay?
That's great.
That I've been through with publishers, and I mean, it's just been something. And my manager, Marvin, always tells me, he said, the reason why that book is going through so much, because when God gets that book and put it in the right person's hand, that book is going to sell. It's going to sell all around the world.
That's right.
And everybody, do you know everybody that I give that book to? Do you know I have to threaten them almost to get my book back?
Wow.
I'm serious.
Wow.
I was like, Lord, real love. Real love.
Right.
I remember, but you know what?
They
I gave it to
book.
A lawyer. What? Pardon me?
I say they take the book and don't want to give it back to the rightful owner.
Don't want to give it back. I gave my book to a lawyer. He didn't want to give it back. I had to get another lawyer to get the book. Lord. Now, that's another book. I got to do another book. I have about two or three books. But I'm telling you, it's something. That book, Real Love, I mean, it's so touching because it's like most people put their self in my place.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And when they see what all I went through and look at me today, it's not me. It's God.
It's God.
He did.
Yes, God made that happen. Yes, he put
God
that in place.
Yes, he did. And I, you know, I don't take the credit for none of that. I thank God. I thank God for touching my
all the glory.
I thank God for protecting my children. You know, when the rap killed, and I'm standing before the Lord telling God to look at my life and don't even judge them. Judge me. That's a mother's love for her children. See what I'm saying? I told my son, it'll happen around you, but it won't happen to you because of my faith in God. And it's only by God's grace and mercy. And we thank God.
Yeah. That he's standing.
Now, you know, we can have some church now.
That's
right. No doubt. And I love that.
I can take down the church.
Do you only the only one that's in the entertainment field?
Yes, he's the only one.
Okay.
My youngest son was doing it for a while, and I asked him, was he going to go back? Because he's working with Snoop right now. He said no, he wasn't going to pick it up. But it was always a dream of his to rap. But I guess he found out he has other talents, you know, other than rapping, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
So no,
God wanted him in another direction.
That's right. That's right. And I tell you, it's something being their mother. It's something being their mother because I have to always stay ahead of them. Okay?
Right. Okay. And I wanted you to talk on that a little bit, Ms. Beverly, how the, like you said, you know, you told Snoop, don't say those dirty words and don't say this and don't degrade women and don't do that, but how the rap industry and the gangster rap industry has kind of made our kids want to be like that when that's really not the way it is. Can you address that a little bit?
Well, you know, when we were growing up, we were never, ever disrespected like the rap is. Women did things, men did things. But, you know, to me, I feel for the mothers. I feel for the sisters. You know, I feel for them because I don't think it's nice. That's not nice at all to degrade, you know, people like that. It's not good. I don't care who it is. It's not good. And I just think that when God, there's another level God's getting ready to take me to. And when he get me to that level, I will be able to stand out and speak the word of God and let them know it's time to forgive, forget, and come on in and stop all of that, talking about each other, name calling each other. You know, nobody knows your heart but God. See, everybody judges you from the outside. God look at the inside. And I think a lot of them they got good, maybe, reasons for what they do, but they trying to keep up with the next rapper because they figured, oh, well, Snoop was doing all this perfect stuff, let me do it. You know what I'm saying? But you got to remember now, Snoop is older now. Snoop is 41.
Snoop's been in the game for 20 years. Snoop been in the game 20 years. So
that's right.
Snoop done built his stripes, bottom line.
That's right.
I mean,
all
you
right.
can't be Snoop.
Right.
You can't be Snoop, Pimp. You can try to be him. But they number one Snoop Dogg.
That's all
right. For real.
Only, I had only one.
Yeah, one and only. Yeah, I mean,
the one
ain't number
only.
One big Snoop, baby, for sure.
Right. That's right.
Right.
And I'm just telling them, they just got to, you know, you can rap. It's a way to do it. Things can be done decently and in order. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, and so many of the rap songs have, I mean, some of the music is so nice, and I think that's what gets you, because a lot of times you can listen to the music and feel the rhythm and get into it without the words.
Exactly.
So they don't have to use the foul language and the foul word, and the song would be just as good.
That's right. No, they don't have to use that, you know. Be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Be yourself. Don't try to be nobody else but yourself. You know, there are people that want to be an evangelist because I'm an evangelist. But see, I didn't call myself. God called me.
Right.
I didn't ask
just put on that because you want that. That's got to be called.
Thank you. Thank you. And if they know like I know, they better stay where they're at and leave this alone.
It's
a lonely,
like said,
a lonely journey.
Many are called, but a few are chosen.
But few are chosen. And he called me and he told me. And he equipped me for what I need.
You know,
all right,
so,
he has a lot of work for you to do.
Miss Debbie said, don't get it twisted, baby girl, out here.
That's
you
right.
You know me?
That's right.
Oh,
hey.
You know, he's called, and he's also stood in the gap for us. So she ain't just up
that's
here
right.
just kicking it. You know what I mean? She is
that's
the
right.
one.
No.
So we just want the world to know.
That's right.
That's
amen.
That's right. Now, Beverly, we have a caller on the line. We've had a couple of callers here, but I want to go ahead and try to take this caller and see if they have a question for you. And we're going to bring this caller on. Last four digits are 9936. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say shout out to Lucinda and Rob from sitting from a distance, just watching how far your show has grown. And to have this guest on tonight was really, I've been watching you guys from a distance, and it's really touching. And it's an honor to talk to you, Ms. Beverly. My name
Thank
is Philip
you.
Anthony. My name is Philip Anthony Sains Hall.
Okay.
I sit in a little distance. I grew up in a kind of a crazy life, and I've had some issues with mama-son relations. As far as I have a book coming out soon, and we put that on hold because I'm battling some demons. But to hear you talk, the way you talk about your son. I had a brief encounter with your son back in 1998, back in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And to see where he's gone at a club for fellas back in L.A. To watch what's going on with his life, I got to say it doesn't reflect what you were talking about in the sense I can see where he's at now. It all makes sense because he had a mama that prayed for him.
Uh-huh.
You are a true soldier, and I wish, man, I'm working on relations with my mama, too. And I've
Praise
been on
God.
This show before, and I've talked to Rob and Lucinda, and I'm just so happy to see where they've got this program to go and how many people they've touched and to have guests like you. What an honor.
Thank you. Praise God.
Hey,
Praise
question
God.
For you. You're a little soldier now. You stay in prayer. You stay strong. I love your words.
Yes. Oh, yes. Got to.
That's right. Thank you so much for calling in, Philip.
Hey, we thank you,
thank
Phil,
you.
For calling in, you know.
Thank you.
Nah,
my pleasure.
It's been a while, but you guys stay. You stay so profound and you stay solid. And what an example you've been. All of you, but it's nice to hear testimonies from mothers like this because that's a hidden result. You tell it straight. You tell your relationship with your son. I had the same thing with my mom. We're not really talking like you guys are talking, but you know God has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says he has a plan. And it's wonderful.
Yes.
It's all happening here, and I just want you to know I'm working on my son as well. It's nice to see all this, and nice just to get a moment to say hello, Ms. Beverly. I will check out your book.
Okay, thank you so much.
That, Phil. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much, Phil. Have a good night.
Salud, and God bless. I want to listen some more.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank
just
you.
Hold on the line, Phil.
All right, now, thank God.
All right, we got another caller, too?
No, we did. Yes, actually, we do. They're back on, so let's take this call.
Okay, good.
Last four digits of the number are 3381. Caller, you're on the air. Oops, wait a minute. Let me try again. Caller, you're on the air. 3381. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question or comment for Ms. Beverly?
Yes, I do. I was calling from Syracuse, New York. Hello.
Welcome to the show.
How are you doing?
Hi. I don't know. The phone is keep going in and out. I don't know if you guys hear me or not.
We can
hear
you now.
We hear you now.
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. Hi, Ms. Beverly. My name is Sharon Washington. I'm the founder and the director of a program called Felons on the Move. And I was so intrigued about a praying mother. And I think that is so important for the youth these days. A lot of mothers are not praying for their children. And they're
That's
really
right.
not going back to the street to get their kids back from the street. Well, mm-hmm. one thing I did enjoy hearing is the cries that you sent up to God to change your
yes.
life first, so that way you can be able to go back and help your children.
Yes.
When your
yes.
kids saw you go through what you was going through, how were you able to divide that old you to the new you so they can see the difference? Because, you know, you see parents, me working with kids for many, many years since I was 21, I'm coming off the street myself, homeless, and as a rape victim. I mean, to see a parent transition from being one way, I'm so used to seeing my parent, my mom, as an alcoholic, but when she changed
okay.
over, I had to make sure it was not the same person. Kids get confused,
okay.
and they still grow up disrespectful. How was you able to do that transition with your boys?
Well, they were young. And like I said, one was 10, one was 8, and 2. And what happened is that they see, like I think we were talking about that, she said, Mom, she changed. She was acting all crazy. She got me carrying on all up in the church and telling it off. And she ain't like she used to be. And I was glad that they were able to see that change in me, that
uh-huh.
I did make that transition, you know. And it's like they respect me. They know who I am. They know where I've been. You know what I'm saying? And they know,
yeah.
even when people got saved, they knew I was the mother, and I'm going to be your mother. And as long as you're in my house, and I take care of you, you're going to go by my rules and my regulations. And that's
mm-hmm.
what they had to do. And then when they got grown, I opened the door. There you go.
Wow. Yeah. Because the word of God do speaks about let your good be speaking. I mean, don't let your good be speaking evil of. And the reason I wanted to share that script was because a lot of people want to try to keep you in the same mind frame, want to keep make it help you remember your past. You understand? You know how
oh, yeah.
some kids they get
oh,
so
yeah.
resentful and they throw the past back in your face. Did your kids ever do that to you? Have you ever experienced that with your kids?
Oh, no. Mm-mm. I have been so strict. I mean, my kids, they know when to mess with me, and they know when not to mess with me. And if
okay.
I start saying something, I guarantee you, if they don't sit there and talk to me, they know how to go out that door. So, no, they don't throw my past in my face. No. And it's been over 30 years, so, you know, a long time. And I prayed myself. I was not being one way, you know, in church around people. I was the same way at home. Because the things
uh-oh,
I used to do, I wasn't doing them no more. The people I used to hang with, I wasn't hanging with them no more. You see
okay.
what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
God told me, don't worry about them people. He said, I will put who needs to be in your life. I will put them there. Don't worry about them folks. Because if they want to be saved, they'll hang on to you. If they don't want to be saved, they'll drift away. And that's
amen.
What happens. A lot of drift.
Amen. Amen.
I think part of the problem nowadays too, Sharon, is that parents don't stand firm in parenting. They want to be their kids' friends. And so
right.
that's how the kids kind of lose respect, because the parents are not being respectful to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's
right.
true.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Ms. Beverly?
You know what? I'm tired of hearing folks saying that my child is my friend. No, they're not
mm-hmm.
my friend. They're my children. There is a
that's
level.
Right.
There's a different level. I'm up there. They under me. You see what I'm saying? They can't be your friend, because the things that you do, things that you talk about, you don't talk to your kids about everything. You see what I'm saying? Because
exactly.
they're under us. We have to respect them just like they respect us. Hanging with them, okay? I'm hanging where God is, okay? home over there and hang over here and see what this one got and all that. I'm here to be a woman after God's own heart.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And I think
Amen.
A lot of people get things confused too, because like Snoop, you know what I mean? He's a very successful rapper and been in the public eyesight for 20 years. A lot of people forget that's entertainment. Snoop go home at night, you know what I mean?
Right.
And
he's
a family man. He's a family man. He has kids. He have a mother, you know? That's a different kind of relationship there. Yeah, and that's a different kind of relationship there, you know what I mean?
Right.
You see him on the stage. But at home, he's probably the coolest cat in America, you know what I mean? A family man.
Right.
But people look at the outside of what the media say, and that's what I think a lot of these kids twisted.
Exactly.
Now, what do you think about
and
that?
And that's what blow them away, too. And that's what blow them away when they find out Snoop Dogg Mom is an evangelist. They are so surprised. Doc can call anybody he chooses to call. And so when they meet me and everything, they be like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's like, what? Oh, my God. I mean, I'm just me. I'm real. I'm a country girl. Okay?
Hey,
but just not the country. They couldn't take the country out of me.
I got a chance to meet Dwayne Wade mother, Miss Vanderbilt. She came here to Syracuse to speak, and she heard about a lot of good things that I do here in the city. So when she got off the plane, she wanted to come to my home and visit me, which she did, and it was a pleasure.
Okay.
But I didn't look at her as being Dwayne. I didn't look at her as being Dwayne Wade mom. I looked at her as being a lost soul before in the world. And how God brought her out. You understand what I'm saying? Because remember, she was in prison. She was in prison. She escaped. She was a drug addict. And y'all's story of similarity. It just I don't think you went to prison to experience that.
Oh no.
Still had that. But I think the similarity that I'm looking at as a parent, and I know God can work on parents. Is that you guys had a similar story that God delivered you from something, so that
that's
way that you can be able to love and cherish and take care of your family. And I think a lot of parents need to heed to that, because God delivered me. I was a rape victim at 14 years old by four guys, and I raised four kids by myself, and they all graduated. And I went through a whole lot. And when my daughter was two, she got hurt by one of my mom's nephews. So, you know, my rape life from 14, it haunted me, because it came back and did something to my child. But God did a new thing in me. So it's just like me, you, Miss Wade, it's like we all got this story, but we all got this story as being parents of kids that could have failed, but because of parents, the parents that we are and how God came into our life and made a difference, we was able to, you know, overcome and help our kids. We need this. We need parents like us to go out there in the streets and get the weak parents and strengthen them and help them trust God. Help them start believing in something, because their kids are lost. The kids are lost because the parents are lost.
You know, and it's just, you know, going back to what we were talking about with parents, you know, we need stronger parents. You know, it's hard with both parents out working all the time. And you know, when you can't be there, you can pray. You can pray for your children, pray for their safety, pray for their protection, and,
Amen.
You know, ask God to intervene. Beverly?
Hello, I'm back.
Welcome back.
Hey, you went out only for a few minutes. All right.
It went all the way out, okay? All the way.
That's
Satan.
Nothing
but Satan.
We just wanted to ask you, Ms. Bevy, if you have any, last words you would like to say to your viewers, and a website where they can go buy that book tonight.
Well, right now, my book is not for sale right now. We're working on it.
Okay.
It's under construction, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, it is then. Bottom line.
It's under construction. Yes, thanks. First of all, I want to thank you all for having me on the show. I really enjoyed it and always get carried away when you talk about the name of Jesus. I get carried away. I love it.
Man,
but,
I love it too.
I'm not ashamed, that's for sure. But as I close, I like to leave this with you all. And this is how I stay connected to the Lord. I pray for his grace. I reach for his glory. I honor his word, and I glorify his name. To God be the glory.
Amen.
God bless you.
For that. Amen. And we want to say it's been a true honor having you on our show tonight. And we would just like to give a big shout out to your whole family. And, you know, much love to your kids and much love to Snoop Dogg. Keep doing what you're doing, my man. And be loving life, you know, and that's the bottom line, and being a family man. So
that's
what
right.
I got to say
that's
to
right.
my boy Snoop. You know what I mean? I've been listening to your music there since Gin and Juice, homeboy. You know what I mean? And ain't stopped listening to
okay.
it. So it's all love on this side, Snoop.
That's right.
And we'd also like to thank Philip and Sharon for calling in tonight and with their questions and comments. It helped to make the show a little bit better with their comments. So,
all right. And we're asking you if you need us.
All right.
Go out there and let's do our thing. And we thank you again, and God bless, and we send much love to your
thank
family.
Thank you all, too.